Tonight we're going to go into the book of Proverbs, and we're on Proverbs chapter 29. Our first lady is going to take over here and just really wail into this and dig into
it. And I believe we'll finish tonight.
All right. Are you ready for that tonight?
But there are some things I do want to, I know we were, you know, going over some refresher course, if you want to say, information. But I do want to just point these things out because I think they're important and for us to talk about this because we were on verse number 12, believe it or not. We've been there for the longest. If a ruler pays attention to lies, all his servants become wicked. And so that led us to talk about leadership, and then we start talking about the leadership of being a pastor. And I just want to give you these scriptures because we just haven't been able to go through this. But it's important because the Bible says in Hebrews 6:12, why don't you put that up there? It's important for us that we do not become what? You guys should know this by now. Sluggish or slug. But we are to imitate or pattern or model ourselves after people, those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So we have to get out of this attitude that we're an island by ourselves.
Right, right, right.
You know, that I'm my own man and I don't need to follow anybody. That's not biblical. We should lock in on people, and hopefully you can do that with your pastor of your church as an example. And then other Christian people that are living the word of God, we should be able to follow their lifestyle.
Right.
That they should be able to model a Christian lifestyle. We should be able to follow them. And through faith, but listen to what it says, through faith and patience inherit the promises, not the problems.
See, a lot of times Christians want to do that. They want to inherit problems because they think that they're not really being a Christian unless they're suffering. I don't want to suffer. I don't know about you, but I got a PhD in suffering. And so I don't need any more of that. If Jesus came to make me suffer, I didn't need that. I don't need Jesus to suffer. I don't need Jesus to be broke. I don't need Jesus to be able to be in my life. I don't know about you, but I don't need Jesus to be sick. The devil will work on that enough. In fact, the scripture says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? Because God was with him. So if God is with us, we shouldn't be oppressed by the enemy. That's, I guess it's Acts 10:38, I believe. But, you know, we need to realize God doesn't want you suffering. And so sometimes you could, and I say that, yeah, follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And I hope that's your pastor. Because sometimes pastors are taught to suffer. And they will teach you to suffer. Because of where they grew up. And so you have to understand that if that's what we were supposed to do, why you want to go to heaven then? Because you ain't going to suffer there.
Yeah. And it's not saying that, you know, we live in this world. Well, not of this world, but we do live in this world. But God has given us, and in the Bible, with that scripture that says, in this world you will have tribulations. But then we stop there for some reason. But then if you keep reading, it says, but I have overcome the world. And see, we have to have an overcomer mindset that we will overcome.
Right.
But we have to have something to overcome. So that's something to overcome. Our trials or tribulations or things that we go through in this world, but the end results will be you will overcome if you keep your faith in God.
Right.
Now, I've lived long enough that I can say that with confidence. That you will go through. Notice the Bible says, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm not camping out, not gonna have a picnic in the valley. We're walking through the valley, okay? Mm-hmm. And then think about the scripture says, we speak to the mountain, okay? We're not gonna climb it. We don't need the effort of climbing the mountain and,
unless,
you know,
it's got an elevator.
Sweating, and some of you would die if you try to climb a real mountain because you have to be in shape to count.
Helicopter.
To climb a real mountain. You have to work out before you can climb a real mountain. And God has said we can speak to situations in our lives, and they shall move if we believe in God. Our faith is in the Lord, not in ourselves, not even in our pastors, or, you know, not in our spouse. You know, it's our faith should stay locked tight in the Lord. And if we keep our faith in God, then God is true to his promises. Amen? If he said it, the Bible says he'll do it. And he'll bring it to pass. So all we have to do is keep trusting him. So we talked about that, that we need to follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Well, then that took me to 1 Peter, put this up here, 1 Peter 5-4. Because the pastor of a church, the shepherd of a church, and then in most churches like this church, we have a senior pastor, we have, you know, a pastor that's assisting the senior pastor. And so these shepherds are sheep herd. So they are leading the people. And in 1 Peter 5:2, it says here, this is a little space. You know, we need probably a bigger podium.
Yeah, we're going to have to get a bigger
podium one day.
I'll just go down here. So.
No, I could put this in my lap. No, I could put, no, that's crazy.
No, that's
here,
okay.
I'll put this
you go
in my
ahead.
Lap.
No.
No, you go ahead.
Gone, girl.
No, because I have light down here, too. I don't have really light.
I'm not
I got
put
light.
This back.
No, I got light.
In fact, folks, I wasn't going to say this, but tonight the teens have asked me to come up to spend a few minutes with them. Can I be excused? No.
No, see, they don't want you excused.
Well, I got to go anyhow, so y'all going to have to suffer with
me. Why did you even ask us?
Well, I just wanted to let them know.
Yeah. Okay.
Bye.
Okay, you're going to come back. Okay. Okay, now, so anyway, the Bible says shepherd. Say shepherd. Okay, that word means to pastor the flock. So, once again, the pastors of a church, they should be in a position where they know people are there to follow them. So it's very important for them to lead the sheep the right way. And the best way to lead the sheep is in the Word of God, okay? And so it says, and shepherd the flock of God. So they understand it's the flock of God. So we're sheep. It's okay. Okay? We're sheep. And it says, which is among you. That's another thing. See, the pastor of the church, they're responsible to shepherd the flock that's among them in the congregation. So when the pastor go out of the congregation or the sheepfold, as it were, then he becomes more of a teacher because they have the gift of teaching as well. So he become more of a teacher out there to teach the word of God. But it's not necessarily that he's pastoring people outside of the sheepfold. Those are among them, okay? So they're responsible for the sheep that's here, that's committed themselves to be here. And it says, excuse me, which is among you serving as overseer, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. So not for self-centered motives, you know, or for any financial gains or any, you know, perks that you can have as a pastor. And so they should do it from a good heart. Okay, you guys with us? Okay, because we're talking about patterning your life after other people. And then it says here, and this is really important, go to the next verse, number 3. It says, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you. So the sheep are entrusted to the shepherd, and they are not to lord over them, try to make them do something. So that's why at this church, we just give you the scriptures, and you make a choice to do to live the scriptures or not. It's your will, your choice, okay? So we can't just, you know, beat you with a rod or something. Say, you're going to do it, you're going to do it. Now, I believe if you take the things that we teach you here at the church, we're lifestyle ministry, I believe and we believe it will help your life. Okay? And that's the problem. Sometimes people are hard-headed and you can't tell me to what I need to do type of attitude, and they continue to live their lives the way they want to live them outside of the will of God, and they have a rough time, okay? So God puts shepherds in the lives of people to lead and guide them, and hopefully through faith and patience, they'll start inheriting promises. Okay, so that's good. Go to Hebrew. Let me finish. Go on to the next. Go back, because this is really important too. Okay, being loyal and trusted, but being examples. Do you see that? To the flock. Underline that, because that's sometimes, you know, like we have abundant 2025, and I say, oh, I don't want to give publicly. I'd rather just do this behind closed doors. Oh, I don't want to share my personal experience with you all. And really, that's how I feel personally. But the Bible says that the shepherds should be an examples to the flock. And so how can you be an example if you're not going to be an example? Okay, and so that's important. And then go to the next one, next verse. And then it says, example to the flock. And when, oh, this is the key. And when the chief shepherd, say chief, see? So you have under shepherds. So one day God, Jesus, will appear. And says, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive, talking to the shepherds, the pastors, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So for your being an example, leading the sheep the right way, you know, through the word of God. And that's why I just love that we're in a lifestyle ministry. So we just hit it head on. Because why try to figure out what we're thinking about? Or what the word is saying. Why don't we just hit it straight on and be straight and just go for it? Amen? So there's no sugarcoating things. Let's just hit it straight on and be real about it. And it'll help your life, okay? Okay, say a big amen. And then in Hebrews 13:17, this is a hard scripture. The Bible says when Jesus was telling his disciples, he said, you know, eat my body and drink my blood. He was talking about communion. And they didn't understand what he was talking about. And a lot of his disciples left him. And then the 12, his intimate disciples, said, you know, Jesus asked them, he turned to them and he said, are you going to leave me too? And they said, where are we going to go? You have the word of life. Okay? And so this is a hard saying. So there's some things in the scripture that may be a hard saying to some, but it says, obey those who those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. So that's a big deal right there. So this is not a game. It's not a game to us. One day we have to stand before the Lord, and we have to give an account for everything we taught in this church. That's big stuff. In fact, there's a scripture. Let's go there real quick. And I'm glad we got the extra time, because we will finish tonight. Okay? Let me find this scripture, because I've been reading this scripture during my personal study time. And because everybody, you know, sometimes people want to... let me see if I can find it, because I didn't write it down, so let me see if I can find it. If not, I'll come back to it later, but, oh, let's see here. Next time I should definitely, but I didn't know I was going to do that. And see if we have Pastor Shorter here, he'll know exactly where I wanted to go with this. Oh, I think it's in 1 Peter. Hold on, I'm in the wrong book. The Bible. Okay, let me see if it's in 1 Peter, because this is really good. Let me see here. Maybe it's 2 Peter. Okay. Maybe I just don't know where it is right now. But it talks about those that wanting to, and I'll come back to it. Remember, I asked Pastor Shorter, I'll write it down, that want to be a teacher, to say don't desire to really be a teacher, because they're going to receive, here it is. It's in James chapter 3, verse 1. It says, my brother, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. See, so some people, I want to be a pastor. I want to be a teacher. If you're not called, stay away from it. And it goes right back to, go back to that other scripture that we was just on in first in Hebrews, because it goes right back that they're going to have to give an account for everything they teach. So this is serious stuff. So we're not playing any games. So we're doing the best we can. We're not perfect people, but we're teaching you the best that we know how to teach the Word of God, rightly dividing the word of truth, because our heart and our intent is for you to enjoy life. I mean, come on, think about it. Why would a pastor want a congregation of just sick folks, broke people, disgusted people, ugly people? I mean, come on. Isn't it a better picture or better billboard or better, you know, representing your church, you know, say, well, I'm from Pacific Christian Center. You're talking to somebody in the store and say, well, what church you go to? Well, I'm from Pacific. I mean, we want walking billboards. So why would we tell you to do something that's going to hurt you? Sort of like tithing and giving. You know, people think we're trying to take from you. No, we want you blessed, prospering. Why? Because you're going to be an example to other people outside the church. We want you happy, looking good, smelling good, and doing good. Amen. Because you're an example to God, yes, but you're an example to this church. Because people can't see Jesus like they say, but they can see you. And even God said that. Come on, help me out, you students of the Word. Even God said that when he was anointing David for the leadership role as a king. He was going to take Saul's place, remember? And he went to Jesse's house. It's like a Cinderella story almost. And Jesse brought his sons, different ones, in front of the prophet and said, no, he's not, that's not it, that's not it. And he said, do you have anybody else? He said, yeah, one more son. He's out there feeding the sheep. Bring him in. And then when he came in, it says, he's the one. God has anointed him to be king. And then he said, God said something. He said, men or man look out on the outward appearance, but I look at the heart. See, and before people can know your heart, sometimes they're looking at you. And you looking like you're just so unhappy and sad, and they're not going to ever ask you if you're a Christian because you look so sad and unhappy and all that kind of stuff. And not saying that, you know, you may be going through something, but we have to be careful about who we talk to. Sometimes our coworkers are the worst people we need to talk to because they can't believe with you. So I always like to say that you faith it, not fake it, faith it until you make it. And get some believers that can really pray and stand with you in faith. Get them around you. And start confessing the word and doing the things you know you need to do. And so, so we're going to teach you the truth. We're going to teach you everything we know because we want you, like I say, happy, moving forward, and doing the things that you need to do. Amen? Okay, let's continue on. And so one day, ministers, they have to stand before God and give an account. Okay, so this is a lifestyle ministry. We talked about that last time. And you need to know that in this world, there's a lot of different doctrine. That means people are teaching a lot of things. There's people in this world that should not have voices. There's too many voices in this world. With social media now, there's a lot of different voices. And God did not give them a voice. The devil gave them a voice. Some of the trash and the lies and the things that people are saying on social media, you just can't listen to it. Because like I said a couple of weeks ago, I said, you don't know that they're sucking life out of you by what you're hearing. So you have to take heed to what you hear. Because either life is being pushed into you or death is being pushed into you. And sometimes you don't even know what's missing, what's being taken away, because the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so when he comes around, believe me, something's going to be missing. And you don't even know sometimes that something you just lost because you had a conversation with someone. And they took your faith in that area away. Satan did. Because he comes to steal the word of God. Notice, he doesn't come to steal your problems. The devil is not stupid, people. He doesn't want your problems. But he does want the word. And that's why Jesus was able to whip the devil's behind. Because he said, it is written. He gave him the word. And that's what we have to do. We have to give the word of God. So you need to know that there's a lot of doctrines, which means, that word just means instruction, things that are taught. And even, just write this down in Matthew 16:12, because all this is centered around that leaders need to hear things that are right. Because if you're hearing the wrong things, getting the wrong doctrines, the teaching, you're going to take it on to your family, because you're teaching your family. If you're still raising children, then you're responsible for what you're telling them. And that's why the Bible says parents should train up a child in the way they should go. Not in the way that traditionally maybe you were trained up, but in the way they should go. And that's the word of God. Okay? So you have to understand that when people are talking, even on social media, they're putting out some kind of instruction or some kind of teaching or a doctrine, and you don't think of it like that, but things are being taught, and your spirit man is going to suffer for it or is going to thrive because of what you're hearing, okay? So they even talked about Matthew 16:12. It says, beware of doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And these were religious people that had, that was fighting Jesus all the time, okay? And it says, in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. That's in Matthew 15:9. Just write these scriptures down. You can look at your own time. And Jesus says, my doctrine is not mine, but his, speaking of God, his Father, who sent me. That's John 7:16. Says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. This is in 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come, and I believe the time is here, when they, speaking of people, will not endure sound doctrine. And that's what we're putting out in this church. Okay? Sound, you could say instruction or the word of God. But after, listen to this. But after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And that's what happens to some people. They come into church, they're not hearing what they want to hear, and then they just leave. And sometimes they leave and they go searching for, you know, another church that's going to tell them exactly what they want to hear. If a church is not challenging you, not poking you a little bit, then you might be at the wrong church. Okay? Because all of us need to be corrected. And the word is here to teach us, but it's also is here to correct us as well. Amen? So it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So we need to be aware of that. And when things are uncomfortable, now we're going to go to Proverbs 29:19. We're going to continue on now. Hopefully we'll finish this entire chapter, okay? Hopefully that's blessed you, okay? That review, that was a review. Okay, so let's skip down to verse number 19. But people will not endure sound doctrine. So don't be like that. When it's uncomfortable in the church sometimes, and it's, you know, especially a church like this, as a lifestyle ministry, we're hitting on areas, we're talking about, I mean, we'll talk about single life, we'll talk about marriage life, we'll talk about sleeping around, we'll talk about, you know, we'll talk about a whole bunch of stuff. We'll talk about dope. We'll talk about, you know, genders. There's only two. At least, like him or not, but at least we finally have a president that says there's only two genders. Okay? So at least that's right. Male and female. And so, and see, some people, some Christians get all upset about that. Well, then you're not reading your Bible and you're not in line with the Word of God, because God says that he created Adam and Eve. That's it. And they wasn't confused. They wasn't confused. Because when they sinned against God, they try to hide from each other. Because when they were naked, they knew they were different. Okay? And so, but mankind, see, remember I just read this. It probably went over your head. I just read the scripture. It says commandments of men. So men have their own commandments. And they'll try to convince you that they're right. So, but they're not right. The Bible's right. And that's why it's important for us to read the Bible. Amen? And not be confused. It's not that complex. It's not that hard. As they say, it's common sense. Okay? And it's really Bible sense. Okay, let's read verse number 19. We used to have our reader, so I have to read now. Okay? A servant will not be corrected by mere words, for though he understands, he will not respond. The TBT Bible says, another translation says, a servant can't be corrected just by words alone. He pays no attention to you, okay? So servants will not be corrected by mere words. So there's some people that just, they're just hard-headed. And you can't correct them just by words. Huh? That's why some people are in jail. Because they just couldn't be corrected by words. That's how sometimes people are fired. Because they can't be corrected by words. How dare you, you know, tell me that my, you know, I have some misspelled words on my paper. You know, I mean, they can't be corrected by words, and so they get fired. See, we should, as believers, we should be able to be corrected. Okay? And it doesn't feel good. I didn't say it felt good. Yeah, it doesn't feel good when my husband corrects me. Okay? And so I don't like it. I'll be honest with you, I don't like it at all. But we have to understand that correction, we just take it. And if it's something we need to work with, we just need to be true to ourselves and say, hey, I need to make that change. If they just, you know, they're wrong. Just know that they're wrong and keep moving on. Okay? But we can't let people cause us to just have a bad day. I mean, we can, but, you know, you can keep living like that all you want, but I've decided I'm not going to let anybody ruin my day. Now, I may be upset for a little bit, but I'm going to get my attitude together, because you're not stealing my whole day. So like the Bible says, we can be angry for a moment. So I may be angry for, you know, a couple of minutes, maybe 5 minutes. I may stay angry for an hour. I don't know. But I'm going to get over it, because you're not going to ruin my whole day. Okay? And the Bible gives us that privilege to be angry for a moment. But we need to get our, you know, let's go there, okay? Because, you know, we can't play with anger either. We have to get our head together. So let's go to Genesis. Let me show you this real quick, because, you know, bad things can happen when you let anger just keep resonating in your heart. So you got to deal with it. And I always say, you know, that you should sit down and you should say, why am I, you know, when you have your own time and maybe, you know, the situation's over with and somebody just, you know, chewed you out and all that kind of stuff. And then go home and think about it and say, now, why am I angry about this? Let me really assess this. And why am I really angry? Am I angry because they hit my hot button and now I feel less than a person? I mean, why am I angry? Because, see, when you really assess yourself, you know, and have an assessment over your own life and just say, you know what, is it a poor self-image that I have? Because they said my, you know, the paper was all wrong or whatever, and now I feel like I'm stupid or dumb. I mean, you have to deal with poor self-images. You have to deal with yourself, okay? Amen. But you have to deal with anger. And that's why the Bible says, be angry and do not sin, or anger for a moment. So here we have in Genesis chapter number 4. Are you with me? Okay, 4. And it says in verse number 3, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain, now these are the first brothers on planet Earth, Adam and Eve, they knew each other, okay? And so they had some boys here, Cain and Abel. And Abel, now I'm not going to teach it from the offering standpoint, but Cain brought an offering to the Lord. And then in verse 4, Abel also brought an offering to the Lord, okay? And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. I'm not going to focus on that. And Cain was very what? And his countenance what? You can tell if somebody's angry by their face. Body language speaks loud. Okay? So you can tell, okay? And we can tell when you're angry too. And then it says, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And that's what I said, see? We should sit there, we should sit and take a moment to meditate and think about, why am I angry about this? Why am I really angry about this? And in some cases, we'll say, this is so stupid to be angry over this. You know, my mother-in-law, bless her heart, I love that lady so much, and I still love her. She's in heaven. And she used to, I would come over her house, and she'd say, Kathy, that's an ugliest hairdo. She was the funniest lady. I mean, she had a sense of humor, but she was just straight like that. And the first time she did that, you know, I got a little upset. And, you know, and I had to deal with it. And I thought about it. I said, now, I can't get upset with my mother-in-law. I can't get mad at her, you know, because I always felt you need to have a relationship with your mother-in-law. And so I said, I'm not going to get mad at her. So then I, you know, would go to her house again, stop by, say hi. And then she said, Kathy, what do you have on today? And, you know, I figured out her personality. I said, this is just her. And so after a while, she would say things like that to me. And because I could have got crushed and everything, but I thought about it, I said, oh, this is just her, you know. And because she'll just start laughing afterwards. And then I found out, okay, I have to come back on her. Because she's just that kind of woman. So she had her opportunity and said something to me. I said, leave me alone. I don't feel like hearing from you today. And she just started laughing. I started laughing. And, man, we just figured out each other's personality. We just had a good old time. And I have the best picture of her in my hallway of me hugging her. Boy, I tell you, we had some fun time. Because, I mean, we just chuckle and laugh, and I said, leave me alone. That's, you know, anyway, we have fun going back and forth. And so you have to know if it's not true, why get angry about it? You know, people, you know, sometimes I've had people say, you're just controlling. I don't get angry about that. I am a boss. And I have to manage and, you know, but I'm a very nice boss. See, she said, yes, I am. And because I want the best for people. and stuff, but, you know, I want it right. And even if I want it right and it's not right, some of my leaders will tell me it's not right, and we'll get it right. But because the whole point, we're working together with the Lord. Amen? We want the best for God. Okay. Well, I guess we're going longer now, huh? I don't know when to stop. Pastor Shorter's not back yet. Okay. Okay, let me finish this, though. So we're saying, and Cain was very what? And his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? You have to ask yourself, that's a very good question. Why am I angry about this? And we deal with it. Because if you're angry because it's a lie, then you don't have to worry about lies. If it's not the truth, you just let that roll off your backs. Don't even worry about it. See, so why am I angry about this? Okay? And so you have to deal with that. And then he asks another question. And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, listen to this. Sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you shall rule over it. So God gave Cain an opportunity to get it right. Thank God for his mercy and his grace. Amen? He don't just, you know, cause us to just die and go to heaven, you know, when we make a mistake. Thank God for his mercy. And so God gave Cain an opportunity to get it right, and Cain didn't get his heart right. And he ended up doing something really bad. Okay? And so anyway, let's go back to Proverbs. So we have to deal with anger. So don't let it fester in your heart. Come on, deal with it. And get it out of your heart. Because you don't want to walk around as an angry person. I mean, I could, really all of us, we've all been through something. And we can all think about it and get, you know, and let that anger rise up in our heart again. And stuff, but you're not going to enjoy life if you just live in the past like that. And sometimes even when those thoughts come or that picture of the past start floating around in your mind, you have to really attack it. And you have to tell the devil, say, you know, I come against that sorrow and the pain of the past. You attack it when it rises up in your spirit, okay? Attack it right then. I'm trying to help you. You guys need to remember this because I do it. I do it because the enemy will try to, all of a sudden, I mean, I'm just having a good day, and all of a sudden, the enemy will start playing a motion picture in my mind about, oh, you was adopted. Remember the day that your cousin told you you were adopted and because she didn't like you. I mean, and you have to attack it right then. You say, I come against that. Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of pain and spirit of hurt. Amen. You attack it right then. It may be a bad relationship and the devil wants you to stay in that anger. You know, he left me, and the devil wants you to stay in that anger, and it's just killing you. The joy. See, Satan comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And you can't have joy in your heart when you're just rehearsing the past, the pain of the past. Amen. And attack it. Say, I come, and it's just the devil. I come against that in Jesus' name. I bind that hurt. Because the Bible says nothing should hurt us. God doesn't want us to be hurting. He wants to heal. The anointing is here to heal the broken heart. So he wants our hearts to be healed. And the enemy wants to just play those old same old pictures, you know. And we have to let go. It's not easy, but we have to have the Holy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, help me to let go of this situation. Amen. Praise God. Hopefully that'll help somebody. Okay, let's continue on, and then We're going to stop pretty soon and we'll receive the tithes and offerings, okay? Let's see here. Where are we? So a servant will not be corrected by mere words. So we need to learn how to receive correction, especially if we know that people love us and they care for us. That's why kids, I don't care if you're a teenager or young people need to receive corrections from their parents, because hopefully they know their parents love them. And the parents should tell them, I love you, but you can't do this. This is not going to fly, okay? So, good, Pastor Shorter's coming back. And it says, do you see a man hasty in his words? Verse number 20. Do you see a man hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Now, I'm not going to talk about myself. Because sometimes I get so excited and I want to get my words involved in it. And so I don't want to be a fool. So I'm still working on it. Okay. The only time I'm really quiet is if somebody's paying me to counsel them. I know how to be quiet then. But other than that, I'm always trying to, you know. So I'm learning. That's why I got a pen and you said something that I wrote down. I wrote down because I was going to interrupt you and I wrote it down. Yeah. Okay. They say women are really like this more so.
What do you mean?
Hasty in their words.
Really?
Yeah.
That's because they have 25,000 and men have 10,000 words a day.
Who says that?
The scientist.
Oh, they count
it. Now that's AI. I haven't counted with them, okay. But they counted.
See, they always try
just
to make
saying.
The women look bad. But
no, it's just true. It's yeah. just true.
But it's true.
Have a conversation with a woman, then have a conversation with a man. Okay, y'all don't believe me. Some of you are like, you ain't married to my husband.
Okay.
No, women do have
So we need to, really, you know what the old saying? We need to think before we talk.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we say things, especially in a heated situation, sometimes we say things, we just can't put those words back in our mouths. And so if we're saying negative things, then we have to counter those negative words, especially in a marriage like that. And the husband says the negative stuff, and then he has to counter those words with other words to try to get those words out of the heart of that person. But it's amazing how people can remember words from even childhood that were negative. You can remember more of the negative words mm-hmm. than the positive words.
Well, don't you
so
say
we
that
should be hasty.
10 words for every negative word?
Right, okay. Right. So to counter one negative word, you have to have 10 positive words to try to counter one negative
yes.
word.
Free counsel.
Okay. So do you see a man hasty in his words? So we need to think before we just speak, or like a practical thing is to have a notepad and a pen and write down your thoughts so that way you can come back and share what you want to share, especially if you're trying to, like I say, having a conversation with somebody, okay? And then it says, he who pampers his servant, verse 21, from childhood. How long are we going tonight?
8:30.
Okay. Oh, we're going to go?
Till 8:30.
And then we're going to receive tithes and offering at 8?
No, we're going to have tithes and offerings before 8:30.
Okay. Well, I didn't know how long I was supposed
well,
to be going.
Well, you're not
going to
finish again tonight.
Oh, okay. So should I read more scripture?
You should read all of them.
Oh, okay. He who pampers his servant from childhood will have him as a son in the end. Okay, so that means that, you know, when you treat people good, then you they want to hang around you and become, they sort of like your spiritual children, if you're, you know, like in our case, spiritual children, or just people that want to, you know, how some you can have a neighborhood like in our neighborhood, like our son would bring his friends over and they eat all our food.
Yeah.
They knew, you always know the house that you can go to.
Yeah, the Kool-Aid house.
Yeah, the Kool-Aid house. And then you can't get rid of that person because, you know, they grow up and they feel like they're part of the family. And sort of like, oh, okay, you're just one of my sons too, or daughters or something. So anyway, when you pamper your servants from childhood, will have him as a son at the end.
I think that means being good to your people that work with you.
Yeah.
Be good to the people that you hire, the people. We operate on volunteers a lot here. Mm-hmm. And we need to treat people right. I mean, you know, they don't have to do this. Or they could do it somewhere else. So we ought to be thankful.
But you know what? The best way to have that kind of attitude, though, is to make sure whatever you're doing, your intent is right. Mm-hmm. So we don't treat people good just to get something from them.
Yeah.
We treat them good is because
they're always something good.
They should be treated good.
Yeah.
Because they're human beings. Amen.
Nice people.
Okay. And
we
plus, whatever you sow, you reap.
That's right. But that's not what you're trying to get either. You're not trying to get in our case, we worked with a lot of churches. We helped a lot of churches. And that's why I believe we have so much help here. Yeah. And we were on staff at nobody's church. We didn't even know what that was.
But we wanted to help. The intent was right. Mm-hmm. See, God is going to judge you on the intent of your heart. It's not just you're serving, but what is the intent? Yeah. You know, what is the motivation? Why are you doing that? So our intent needs to stay pure, okay?
Right.
And if it's not, then go to God and say, forgive me, Father, I'm doing this out of the wrong motive. I want to be seen. You know, I want some accolades. You know, whatever it is. But so get your heart right before God, amen? Okay, and then an angry man stirs up, this is verse 22. I think I'm going to close here, though.
Okay.
Okay,
sure,
and then we can finish next week, or did you want me to
finish? No, I don't want you to rush it.
Okay, so let's stop here.
It's the word. It's going to be the word all the time.
An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. So once again, in Proverbs 28:25, it says a proud heart stirs up strife. So an angry man, a person that's angry all the time. Now, that goes back to what we talked about. We have to deal with anger. Now, it's not a sin because it says be angry
And sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath.
And there's another scripture.
Right.
So it's not necessarily.
In the wintertime, that's pretty early, though.
Yeah.
You ain't got no time to get mad.
Yeah, one time I was upset with him. and I was looking outside because, you know, I knew the sun was getting ready to go down. And I told him, I said, the sun is not down yet. So I'm going to stay angry until the sun goes down.
And God did like with Hezekiah. He just held the sundial. Just kidding.
But an angry man stirs up strife. So when there's strife, you know, and division and stuff like that, you have to trace that. Who started that? And whoever or where that originated from, that person's angry.
But I'm thinking
and they stir up strife because angry people hurt, as they say. They
Hurting people hurt people.
Yeah.
So. I just think about health so much now because the Bible says that a bitterness will, that root of bitterness where you just, I can't stand them. And all you do, every time you talk about that person, is bring up that stupid stuff that happened 45,000 years ago and you're still fussing about it. But that, the Bible
Now, he
says,
wasn't even in here when we talked about that. Because we did talk about something similar to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the root of bitterness springs up and troubles you. So you ain't doing yourself no favor by getting mad at people and saying, I may forgive you, but I don't forget you. Well, that ain't in the Bible. I think you can forget it. If God can forget, you can forget. What if God remembered everything you did? Man, we'd be in serious trouble. And so, you know, we got people that, well, I remember what so-and-so did to me. Well, get over it. I mean, I could sit here and rattle off stuff that people have done to me. You know, man, it's crazy. But see, you keep going with that, you're going to find yourself in some sickness.
Yeah.
It'll open the door for cancer. It'll open the door for heart problems. It'll open the door for maybe diabetes. It'll open the door for something. Because the enemy is looking to be able to take you out anyhow. Mm-hmm. And you have to, you know, we ain't got into it, but I got a whole ritual of how I eat, take a shower, everything. I got a whole ritual had to change in my life to be able to do what God has called me to do, or else I'm going to kill myself trying to do all this. And so we have to really realize that being angry, you gotta let it go under the bridge. You got to forget it. And maybe they were wrong. They are wrong. They're still wrong. They're always going to be wrong. But cast your care upon him because he cares for you. Stop thinking everybody else cares for you. They don't care a rip about you.
And God knows
how. I like to say it this way. They can't care. They don't have the ability.
Some people don't. And God knows how to fight your battles.
Stop.
Instead of trying to get back at somebody, take it to prayer. Ask God. He knows everything. And God will take care of it.
If somebody walked up to me and said, I want to give you $1 million, but you got to hang on to that microphone in order to receive it, and I'm only going to give it to your left hand, you ain't going to ever get it, because as long as you're holding on to it, you can't let go to grab it. See, we got to let go of that anger to grab the vision that God has for us to go forward, or else you're going to be sitting there hanging onto that, clenching your fist in your hand until you start bleeding, because that bitterness will trouble you. And so we have to let it go. And I, you know, in the ministry, you can be offended every 5 seconds. I could tell you something that happened today. Crazy. I had to call cops on the lady. Just as crazy as she be. But, you know, and I was just trying to eat a piece of Chick-fil-A. And so I'm trying to say, you'd be angry about, oh, God. Am I right about it? Huh. Am I right about it?
Huh. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I know we ain't going to talk about it, but it was crazy. You know, I'm sitting there trying to eat some Chick-fil-A and listening to the word of God in song. Because it reminded me of heaven. And lady sitting behind me, oh, turn off your music, turn it off. And then throwing all these F-bombs at me and stuff. I said, lady, do you know what you're doing?
She don't know she was cursing herself, that's all.
To the point where I had to call the cops.
We had a lady.
Because I wasn't moving because she was stupid. I ain't moving. I'm from Kentucky. That's your problem. Anyhow, I'll leave that alone. So we can get mad at anybody at any time. We can hold it. You can hang on to it. It's like that manna that rots and turns into worms and just, you know, it ain't consumable. Anyhow, I'm sorry, Andrew.
Praise God. Come on, let's thank the Lord for the word tonight.
Praise God.
Hopefully you got some little nuggets to help your life.
Now, I gave you a chance to finish and you didn't, so you can't blame me about not finishing that.
I know, but it's, yeah, so we're going to have to get a time.
We're shooting for 8:30. We didn't make it tonight again. Okay. So.
Go ahead and pass out the envelopes. Let's get ready to receive the tithes and offerings tonight. Come on, praise God.
Woo-hoo.
The Bible says, I'm telling you, I'm trying to get away from the scripture. 1 Timothy 6:7, for we brought nothing into this world. And it's certain we can carry nothing out. But what's in between? Stewardship.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be found faithful with the resources God has placed in my hand. So let's seek God first. Put God first for your increase. And people, stop having a challenge with this. Okay? It's not that hard. It really isn't, because God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You sow into the kingdom of God. You're sowing. You're not throwing your money away. I think they don't understand that. You are sowing into the kingdom of God, and God will reward you back in more ways than one, okay? So let's get ready to bring the tithes and offering. Tithing is just simply 10% of all your increase.
That's all.
You know, now you go to the out to eat.
It goes to 20%.
And it goes to 20%.
Are they twice as good as God?
And that's physical food. This is spiritual food. Same concept, really. Mm-hmm. Only this is spiritual. This will last forever. That other food, it comes out of you after a while. Something stick. You know, but it does. It just, you know, it's a waste when you really think about it.
You know, and I was talking to you about a little bit about this. And I'm not trying to get gross or anything, but I was telling you about jets when they're flying. Part of the controls that we're looking at exhaust gas temperature. We're looking at the gas. how hot it is. We bring that, fly in a helicopter, you bring that thing up to a certain temperature so that everything will be working correctly. So we look at EGT, we look at the exhaust gas temperature. That's how they fly the thing, by the temperature of the exhaust. They measure the temperature of the exhaust. If we ain't got enough heat there coming out the back, you know, making vapor trails, then you don't have enough to go forward enough. So you need to make sure that you're consuming enough of the Word of God that pushes you forward, because you got some stuff going out at the back, okay? Okay, we got some heat on us, amen?
Yeah, so get.
Make some wakes.
Make sure God is involved with your finance and be a good steward because you brought nothing into this world and you're not going to carry anything out.
That's right.
But you will one day stand before God and give an account of your stewardship. And so you have to get God involved with your money, okay? So we're telling you the way to do it, and God will bless you. Amen?
Right.
Okay, let's, on the count of three, we'd like to shout and praise the Lord around here, because God said he loves a what?
Cheerful.
There it is. He loves a cheerful giver. One, two, and three.
Yes.
Praise
God. Glory
say, my God.
My God.
He's supplying all my needs,
according
to his riches
and
glory
by
Christ Jesus. Say,
Christ
thank
Jesus.
You, Father,
thank you, God,
that the windows of heaven are open to me
and
blessings are being poured out.
I receive them.
I'm blessed to be a blessing. All my needs are met according to your riches
in
glory by Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. All right.
Praise
God. Now, as you pass the containers, I want you to just meditate on some music that we're going to have playing for you,
also,
so you can be able to give your hearts to the Lord totally as we prepare for the altar call.
Also, let's remember our Abundance 2025. I want to thank those of you that was part of the kickoff of Abundance 2025. Thank you so much. Some of the faithful members appreciate it.
Close your eyes, just worship the Lord and just receive from the Lord. God receives your seed. That seed is becoming multiplied. Worship the Lord, please. Just worship God. He's so mighty. So mighty. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Lift your hands up and just worship the Lord. Come on. Close your eyes. Just worship the King of Kings
and the Lord of Lords.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Christians praying and interceding one for another while your heads are bowed. Those of you watching by live stream, perhaps you're here tonight and you're saying to yourself, you know, I've been bitter. I've been hurting. Someone hurt me, and I want to hurt them back. But I know it's not right. I need Jesus. I need God to help me with this burden. This bitterness that's troubling me, springing up. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe you're here, you're not a believer even. You're not even a Christian. You've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. This is the first step to heaven. The step toward Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. No one comes to the Father but by me. You can't get to heaven except through Jesus. While your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, Christians praying and interceding, those of you by live stream as well, if you're here and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, put your hand up high, high, high. I want to pray with you. Even if this is your first time at church ever in your life, put your hand up high. I want to receive you, and God wants you to receive him as his Lord and Savior. Second area, perhaps you're here today and you desire to be able to come to recommit your life to God, come back to the Lord. I want to pray with you, agree with you, adding my faith with yours. Tonight, you can sense the presence of God in this place at different times. It's because God wants to be able to be in your life. And maybe there's things that you've done that has kept you away from the Lord and made you feel like you're not worthy to be able to be in this presence. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to give you an opportunity to come back to the Lord. If you once were a Christian, but you walked away from the Lord, here's your opportunity. Put your hand up high. Be quick about it. I want to pray with you, agree with you, adding my faith with yours. Those of you that are watching by live stream, we're going to pray for you as well, because I believe there are many of you that are right there ready to receive in this area. Third area is to be able to come and receive the Holy Spirit. If you're here tonight and you desire to receive the Holy Spirit, our Paracletus, the one that's called to be by our side to help us. If you're here today, you need that help. You need someone to counsel with. Things are so crazy. Things happen so fast. And you need to be able to go and pray or just speak to God and have God speak to you and be able to know what to do. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you need this gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, put your hand up high. You may have been a Christian for a long time. I want to pray with you, agree with you, and my faith will be yours. Fourth and final area is to be able to come and receive as a member of this church. Those of you that are watching, you can be able to become a partner by simply writing us. We will soon have a number that you can text us. Text your prayer requests. Text your communications to us. Text to us if you enjoyed the program. We'll be announcing that next week, as well as at our midnight prayer and praise, which will be going on 11 p.m. this Friday night and every first Friday night till 12 midnight here in the Pacific Northwest and the Pacific zone of time. But if you're here today and you desire to become a member of this church, put your hand up high. I want to pray with you. I want to agree with you. I want to add my faith with yours. Maybe you've come to this church before, but you're not a member. You want to make that change tonight. Put your hand up high. There's something about being a part of what God has drawn you to. All right. Can we give God praise for the word we received tonight?